Good. God, lead us in this worship service to bring honor and glory to your name. But as we do, Father, there's two things. Thank you for using people here, Father. And in this prayer, we just a little different prayer. But God, this is Grandparents Day. And we thank you. We honor those that you... I don't know. Who are all grandparents in here? And oh, wow. Okay. Everybody, okay, well, okay, I'll have to get me a pet or something so I can be a grandparent. But all of you as grandparents, God bless you. Really. The influence you've had and are having and will have is enormous. Trust me, it is. And I pray that God use you to His, bring Him honor and glory always. God bless you all in that. And I want to say that, Tom, you're doing a beautiful job with this bulletin. It's stronger and stronger all the time. And he's got plans to make it even more magnificent if he can get me totally on board. And if I can work far enough ahead to get these outlines in time, we'll have the bullet points in there someday in the future. But now we have the scriptures. We're working on that. But you're doing great. And an angel... visiting angel, bulletin producer. He'll be doing movies next. But anyway, God bless you for it. God bless your people. Keep us. Protect us. And you know what? We give you the praise and honor and glory. And we say we love you. It's not good enough. But it's the best we got. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to sit down, and I don't know why. I thought, now's the time for another song, but we don't have the time for another song, so let me just jump right into this. Don't worry, I know we've just made all this a part of the worship service today, praying for people, and that's, you know, God leads. I don't plan these things, but suddenly I'll be up here, and I just sense His Holy Spirit saying, you spend more time praying and less preaching today, okay? Or sometimes it'll be the other way. I don't, you know, sometimes I teach, sometimes I preach. Today it's just my people need my help. I titled this message Courage. It's out of Philippians 3. It's so familiar passage. Please don't tune it out. It'd be easy to do when you first hear it. But just, it's part of this whole series we've been doing on the knocking out these strongholds and all these childhood things that we, you know, this childish behavior and where it comes from. We've had a lot of response from that, a whole lot. And why we have adult outbursts and things that come from childhood. It's never got resolved. And then these strongholds. And today it's courage. And we have another, I don't know, it may be next week or the week after, that we have another and coming and part of this series that I'm anxious to bring, but it's just not fully fleshed out yet. But just keep in your prayers, and that the enemy doesn't, he tries to, like you said earlier, he tries to interfere with people saying ugly things, doing stuff. And it, you know how it is, I maybe we all do this, but you'll have somebody will be on your back and get on to you or say something ugly, and you have a hard time not reliving it and thinking, oh, I wish I'd have said this, or why didn't I do this, or why didn't I just walk away? You ever ask yourself that? And I know too a lot of times, and it's just you want to defend yourself. And a lot of times that's the worst mistake you can make, just walk off. I've told you that a million times. I make it about 90-something percent of the time, but once in a while, the things are so outrageous, you just want to turn around. And do you ever want to just fight? You know, I know that not to. And the doctors told me, I don't even want you lifting above shoulder height 25 pounds. And I'm thinking, but wouldn't it be worth it just once? You know, and then they'd have to operate on me because it would all be busted up if I got into it. And it's like, maybe I ought to get in a good knockdown drag out. Then you could say, this thing's, you know, wrecked. I got to have surgery on it now. Anyway, the reason they're not, you know, the VA says they're broke and all that, so... And anyway, I won't get into that because I don't want to cause any problems, but the courage. So let's look at courage, and let's read this. All of us then, is that the wrong one? And I don't want to read that one. That was one I marked out. I was going to read this to you, and I decided not, I won't do that. So, sorry, I'm skipping that one. We're going to verse 12. Not that I've already obtained. He's naming all these things, and he wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and all, and participate in his sufferings. Did you know I haven't been able to pray that yet? I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection, but I have a hard time wanting to participate in Christ's sufferings. Does anybody here share that same thing? I have a hard time praying that kind of prayer. So, but anyway, that's what he's talking about. And when he gets to verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal. But he said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Grab that part. I'm going to take hold of what at that which Jesus took hold of me. You know this passage. So don't let familiarity keep you from getting what God's saying to you today. But he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So for sake of time, and so that we've been, and I won't keep you here for a great while, I'm just going to jump right in the middle of this. And first, and it's just, I just titled it courage, because what he's saying here that Paul had a tremendous amount of that God had given him, and I'm asking, and you need, and I encourage you and exhort you to pray to God and ask for this, for courage. And with courage, boldness comes humility to give God the glory. But the first point here is the courage to let go. The courage to let go. What does that mean? Forgive others. You're hearing some things repeated, and I know that, but repetition finally sinks in, and we begin to do it. And forgive yourself for whatever was back there, even if it was this morning, yesterday, or just a few moments ago. You might have thought something or whispered something that you know, God, forgive me. Forgive yourself. Let go of others' faults and past mistakes. Can't emphasize this enough. Let go of others' faults and mistakes. If you keep dwelling on the problems others have, it'll become your problem. You say, okay, we got it. He says, forgetting what lies behind. What did he forget? We all know that story. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He was Saul of Tarsus. And he put men, women, and children in prison and let them die there because they were Christians. Just because they were Christians, for no other reason. By the way, friends, we have folks that are not far from wanting to, trying to do that right now. They would kill every Israelite. They'd throw them in prison and let them rot right now. And if they'll do it to Israel, they'll do it to you and me because we're Christians. We're all part of the same plan. So just remember that. And salvation one day will return to the Jews when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So just keep in mind that the same thing, and there will be people just like him that do that. But that's not the message today. He had a lot of past to forget. But there was more than that. He also had his education. He also had being a Pharisee. He also had all of these titles that he'd accumulated. He was in line to be the top boy in the religious culture at the time. He was headed for the high office, probably of high priest. Paul was on, Saul of Tarsus, before he came Paul, was on his way to the highest level. So when we talk about forgetting what lies behind, we're not just talking about his ugly past and torturing people and persecuting them. We're talking about he had to also let go of the ego and the pride that was attached to his high education, his status in the community, his position as a religious leader. He said, all of this is what he's talking about. I have to let it go. And also that I'm of the right tribe. I mean, I'm in the right tribe, in the right place at the right time. For Paul, religiously, he was in the finest point, in the pinpoint. In the spotlight of religious culture. He couldn't have had it better. He was the religious movie star of his day. By the way, we have a lot of religious movie stars. Just tune into a lot of channels and you can see them up there. They perform every Sunday. And they're religious movie stars. And he was one of his day. And he said, when he said, I've got to let go. I don't consider myself taking hold of anything. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead. Don't ever put down being educated. Don't put yourself down with your experience and things you've been through. But friends, whatever you do, don't let that be what identifies you. You ever gone to a doctor that's so egotistical that they couldn't even treat you? You couldn't tell them anything. They wouldn't listen to what you were saying as the patient with the problem. Has anybody ever had that experience? I mean, they're just so up there and inflated egos. Unbelievable. And for me, I just walk out. I'm done. I'm through with you. Years ago, I had a dermatologist. I was the most arrogant guy I'd ever seen in my life. And I took my daughter to him and had these pictures of himself playing golf. And I knew right there when I walked in, it was all of him swinging, doing this, posing. And I thought, is there any of you, do you treat people or do you hit them with golf clubs? And was so arrogant. I tried to tell him, she had a little skin problem, and I was trying to tell him the problem. He didn't want to listen. And when he was through, in his quick 5 or 6 minutes he spent there, he said, I'm going to get some cream water for this and all, and then have a good day. Walked out of the room, never looked back. Went to the front, and I said, we're not coming back. What? I said, I don't want to be treated by him. I don't want him to see her. We're done here. So I want his records sent. I'll have them sent wherever, because I don't like him. Why don't we do that? Pretty soon, if they're running out of patience, they might calm down. So the whole point, I'm not trying to pick on this guy. He's probably long gone, and I don't miss him. Anyway. But I have others that have a spirit of humility. So regardless, what the whole point is, don't put yourself down because of what you do, what God's called you to do, what education you have, experience in life, nothing. Just don't let it be your deciding factor. You don't have to put pictures of yourself all over the wall so people say how great you are. Listen, when you honor God, God will let you be honored. It says, you know, if you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled, but if you humble yourself before the Lord, he'll exalt you. He didn't mind somebody saying, well, you did this, yeah, Lord bless me. He doesn't mind that. Give him the glory. But when you put yourself out there and say, look at me. I did all this. I have all these degrees. I'm a hotshot attorney. Anyway, I'm not picking on doctors and attorneys. Yeah, there's so many of us, we guys, pastors out there who just think that, you know, I heard one of them in a message say, the Lord has blessed me to buy a Bentley. Is everybody familiar with those? I don't know the price of them, but it's way up there. And he said, the Lord blessed me to buy. He said, people say that's extravagant, but God wants us to have a quality vehicle that we can depend on. He said this. You know who it is, don't you? I heard, and then there was a guy that brought his Porsche on stage and used it for a sermon exam on stage in his big church. So anyway, that's not knocking everybody else. We're some of the worst. We can be the most, I mean, it's pathetic. What we got, and then another one swung out on his little trapeze thing and swung out over the crowd and came back on the platform. I thought, is he Tarzan or is he a pastor? And really, you get so carried away, but here's the point. He said, I've got to let that go. I'm going to have to take on Jesus Christ. And so it's not, you see, we always think it's the bad things, and there are. Everybody has bad stuff. You've sinned, people sinned against you, and God wants you to let it go. But it's not just the bad stuff, it's the present stuff. Is there anything in your life that your ego runner, you're riding your little ego mobile? It's your identification. You're putting it in front of you so people can't see you. Well, Saul of Tarsus was doing that. So were all the Pharisees. That was their problem. You know why they hated Jesus so much, really? They were jealous. They were intimidated. He was performing miracles. He was getting attention. And they would pray in public. If you've seen The Chosen, they show you how they prayed in public. And they're jerking. And I mean, really, I'd have loaded them up and hauled them to the loony bin. But they did that to get attention. Their egos were keeping them from God. And he's saying, all this stuff and all the bad things I did, but all the things I am, he said, I'm selling out to be who Christ put me here to be. Is everybody with me on this? It's not that he had to burn his certificates and do all that. He said, I'm just putting them in the place. I'm leaving them where they need to be. But friends, listen, what God has put on my heart with this. And while I was working on this, I thought, I've been through this. We know this. Everybody knows this passage. And then it was like, boom. It's like, I'm not giving this to you to give the same old thing. Because what I really want my people to do is put behind them what's present. And what's that, God? Habits. What bad habits are we turning to that we know not to turn to? What do you just keep doing that's hurting you and hurting everybody else? Fears. What are you afraid of? What's driving you? What do you dream about? What wakes you up in the night? Something hit the house last night. I don't know what it was, but I'm sound asleep, and there's this, you know, I've got a metal roof and everything, but there's just a boom. Well, that'll bring you out of bed. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not moving. Worst thing you can do is go run around the house. Don't cut on any lights. Don't do that. Don't cut on lights. Just sit up and be still. And I reached over and grabbed my secondary Bible. It's called a 10 millimeter. I turned to chapter Glock, verse 1. And I said, I'm fixing to read them the scripture. They're going to get hellfire and brimstone if it's somebody out there. And I know I'll say things, it's fun, but that's not kidding. I'm not, and I don't kid about that. I live out where you pay attention. And so I waited a little while, and nothing happened. But then I thought, you're going to let fear overcome you? You're going to lie back down, and you're going to trust God. Because the devil would like nothing more. There's no telling. The wind, gust of wind, something could have hit the house, piece of tree branch. I don't know. But here's the point. If you don't watch it, the devil will use your fears to get you to run in where you run smack into something because you're looking back over your shoulder, afraid of what's chasing you, and nothing is but your own fear. What the heck are you afraid of? You afraid of fire at night? I've had people tell me and confess many times, I wake up during the night because I'm afraid the house might be on fire. What? I go check the doors because I don't know if I locked them, and it's become obsessive compulsive. And God is saying, I want you to put that behind. I want you to give it to me. Do you not trust me to keep you from burning up in your house? Do you not trust me to you know, you locked the door, trust me that it's locked? And if you didn't, don't you trust me to protect you anyway? I mean, how many of us do these compulsive things that we know are just... We're being driven. God wants you. That's habits and become habitual. What about paranoia? Are you paranoid? Are you paranoid when people are talking over here in the corner and they look at you? Are you paranoid about it? Let me ask you something. You know, we've laughed about this before, but we see somebody talking to look at us, and we're sure they're talking bad. You know, there's something. Why do you assume it's bad? You know what you ought to do? If people are talking and they turn and look at you, wave. I'm the center of attention to that group. Shall I put on a little performance? Why can't you have a different attitude about all this? They're all over there talking about me. I'm the center of attention. Why can't you make it fun and good? People come to you and say, they're talking about you. Really? I'm the star all of a sudden. Why can't you? Really, it sounds ridiculous, but is it? And you get a whole new attitude. God's saying, put that old negative, bad stuff. You know, if they're disgusting you, hey, I must be something. I get all their attention on me. I've gotten to star in a lot of shows in my past. And it's like, and I didn't have the right attitude. And God's helping me to have this now. So what about your paranoia? Can you put it behind you? We give it to God. What about being critical? Anybody here critical and griping too much? Do you just wake up griping? You're critical of yourself and others? What about complaining? I'll put in a big word here. Are you self-deprecating? You say, that sounds ugly. Do you put yourself down? Do you call yourself names? Do you say, I'm an idiot, I'm stupid? My dad, my mom, my uncle, my teacher said I'd never amount to anything. Guess I'm living up to that. When you do something sinful, when you do something really stupid, do you call yourself names? Did God call you as His property, as His, your body as His temple, to put yourself down like that? That's not humility. That's destruction. Humility is when I give God my life, my body, heart, soul, spirit, mind, will, emotion, and unto you, Lord, everything in my life. Jesus said, without me, and in John 15, you can do nothing. But in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God didn't call me to put myself down. He put myself under Him and subject myself to Him. Don't run yourself down. Has anybody done this? Have you ever called yourself names? I'm such an idiot. Okay. I'm a failure. I can't keep God's word one day. I'm stupid. I'm a klutz. I'm not desirable. I'm not wanted by anybody. And God's saying, will you put that behind you? Will you make that a part of your past right now? Just take all that stuff and put it behind you right now. Put it in Jesus' hands and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves me. He accepts me like I am. He wants me right here, right now. He's made me beautiful in His sight. He's made me handsome in His sight. He's made me powerful in His power. What is there to fear? Why do I put myself down? Is there anybody in this room that can go through this coming week and not blow it? And not sin? If you can drive in that traffic going that way and not commit a sin for a whole week, God bless you. There, and I got so upset, and I've mentioned this before. Another person, the post office I go to, well, it would fit in that little room, that room right there. Why? There's one or two people there, and when they pull up, the post office like this, you're supposed to pull in like this. They pull like that. So you can't get to the post office. And when I see that, sin starts foaming at my mouth. How dare them block the whole front of the post office? I've got to walk 20 feet more to get there. Aren't we that way about a lot of things? And God just kind of looks at us and said, are you being a little ridiculous today? Well, they. Oh, I handle they. You're the one I'm having trouble with. Stop calling yourself stupid and clumsy and forgetful. And by the way, so I can move on, we're going to close in a little bit. And this will be shorter because we took more time doing some of these other things that were necessary. Stop calling yourself old. Stop it. Don't let society label you. You're not clumsy. You're not old. Because in Christ, you're growing younger every day. You're moving towards the whole new body thing. You've been born again. And don't let a label be put on you. And when you do something, forget something, or you got the wrong mug. Don't buy into, oh, well, I'm just getting old. All the doctors I go to, you know, you're one of them. Well, you're getting old. You have to fight it, right? God says you're getting younger. I'm renewing you. I'm bringing you to a place to give you an exchange. What's this old thing? And if you start thinking old, you get old. You do. Put it behind you. Don't buy into society. Don't buy into this crud. Be young. Be young at heart. Stay adventurous. Be adventurous in Christ. Do not berate yourself. Don't you ever buy into this. Don't make yourself what God doesn't want you to be. So stop calling yourself stupid and clumsy and forgetful. Old. Everybody forgets. I would think that everybody in this room has had the experience of walking into a room and saying, what did I go in there for? And you walk out and remember it and say, dadgummit. And by the time you get back in there, you forgot it again. Because your mind went to something else. You ever done that? And somebody will say, you're just getting old. No, the truth is, you have too many things on your mind. You're in overload. You had 15 other thoughts before you got there. So anyway, take all this and give it to God. And say, I'm not going to put myself down anymore. And I want these habits. I want this bad habit. I want this thing I'm doing to stop. I can't stop it, God, but you can. I'm going to give you this quote. This little quote that I read. And I don't know who had to give the credit to. It's just a quote I found. No, but here's what it said. And it was like, how appropriate for this message. The quote said this. One of the happiest moments in life is when you let go of what you cannot change. Why are you going? There's just some things. Let go. Let God do it. It's one of the happiest. I thought, it is. It's one of the happiest moments in life. Is when I let go of the things I can't change. I can't change somebody chewing me out. I can't change somebody being ugly to me. I can't change a lot of things. But God can. But see, it's not them I need to worry about. Just let Him change me. You can't change the politics. You can't change anything. Can you? Really? You can ask God to change you and to take these habits and to take all this stuff and quit putting yourself down and quit being old. You're not old. You're not crazy. You're not clumsy. You're not stupid. And you're not a lost cause. You're God's precious, wonderful, sweet child. Let me give you this other one. I don't have many. I better not. Okay. The courage to face yourself. And I've already gotten into part of that. Can you face yourself? A lot of these people that you see on TV and in the movies, the character you see is, you want them to be so real. You want that to be real. And then you find out what they really are. That they're not anything like the characters they play. A couple of the actors that's been in some of those violent films are also against guns. They use machine guns and grenades and stuff to blow people up in films and blow them apart. And then they publicly stand out and say that they believe in gun control. Hypocrites. That's totally hypocritical. You, for money, you'll be on the screen killing everybody. And then in real life, see, you don't know who you are, what you believe. You don't stand for anything. You don't have the courage to stand for anything. You're just money hogs. They won't face themselves. They won't, you know, they won't ask themselves, is what I say who I am? Is what I portray to people who I really am? Am I grieving the Holy Spirit because I'm not being who God put me here to be? I'm being who I want people to see, who I wish I was. Are you willing to deal with childish behavior and let God take down those strongholds and all the things he's been sharing with us that he wants to deal with? Let me ask you this. If you don't get what you want, how do you behave? If you don't get what you want, how do you behave? Do you surrender meekly to God? Do you trust him to work it out? Or, and I don't have to say the rest, let me give this third one. The courage, you see, you got the courage to let go and the courage to face myself, who I really am. Can you face yourself with all your sins and say to God, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I'm not here because I'm good. I'm here because you're good. And your goodness, your righteousness is in my heart because the blood of Jesus cleansed me from all sin. Do you have the courage to change? That's the third one. The courage to change. Oh, man. Do you have the courage to let God change you? To transform you? You know, that's that Romans 12 passage. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove and do what's acceptable and perfect will of God in Christ Jesus. Do you have the courage to change? Do you have the courage to face your life and say, for the last how many years I've been doing this way, acting this way, talking this way, and now God wants me to do it His way. But my family did it this way, and my mom did it this way, and dad said it this way. But your dad is now your Father God. Whether your physical parents are living or not, when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, God is your Father. He's your mother. He's your brother. He's your sister. He's everything to you. Your family is still your family, but He's your real family. This is your family. Don't you have an interest in one? Say, yes, Pastor, we look at you every Sunday and say, we have a very interesting family member. But I am. I'm your family member. I'm the rogue. How was I identified? The rogue brother. The rogue relative. Because I don't conform to stereotypes. I don't dress up like a pastor. I don't really look like one. I don't drive a vehicle like one. And the bottom line is, I don't want to. I just want to be who God made me and bring this message like He wants it. And I don't want to do that. I like driving a four-wheel drive pickup. So I like taking it off into places where no man has gone before. Oh my goodness. Do you have the courage to change your familiarity with old habits? Are you still saying, I've always been this way? My family's this way? Oh, here's a good one. Here's the old standby with temper and outburst and all this kind of stuff. Well, I come from a German family. Irish. That's the way we are. Italian. Scottish. Thank you. Scottish. There you are. And God is saying, I know that. And I know you've got some real tough habits there. I know you've got some things that you can, you know, that you just grew up with. Bless your heart, because you didn't have a choice. But now you do have a choice, because I want you to change. I want you to become my heritage. I want you to become a Christian. I want you to be able to say to people, I'm acting the way I am now because I'm a born-again believer in Christ. And my family is Jesus Christ, God the Father. And my kingdom is not German or Italian or any of these other things. My kingdom is heaven. And I'm heavenly minded, and God has taken all this out and replaced these earthly things with his heavenly character, his godly good character, his righteous character. And that's what he's saying. And I used to tell people, you know, they'd say, Tony, you sure can, you know, you hold in a lot of things, but when you go, and I say, yeah, it's just that old German heritage, and God is saying, how about godly heritage? How about the kingdom of heaven heritage? And that's what he's working on in me. Now you're a Christian people with a new Christian family, and a choice must be made. It must be made. It's time to ask God to let you see yourself as he sees you. God, let me see myself as you see me. And I haven't brought this up in a long time. You want to know how you really are versus what you think you are? Just ask some people close to you to tell you the truth. Am I what I say I am, or what do you see in me? Get ready to get your feelings hurt. You may hear a very good report, but ask several people. That's a hard thing to do. Do you have the courage to do it? How do you see me? Do I come across, do I come across rude, cold, unsympathetic, unloving? Tell me the truth. Or am I kind, sensitive, loving, caring? Just shoot straight. And then if you don't hear a good report, or all of it's not good, don't get mad, don't get hurt. Take it to God and say, is this how you see me? Then I want you to straighten me up where you look at me and say, boy, there is my good, holy, wonderful child. Still sins, but they got my character. They're not German or Irish or Italian or Scots or any, they're not any of this. They're me. They're me. Christ in me, my hope of glory. I'm closing with this. The courage to walk with God. When it all comes down and you say, I can't let go. I can't face myself. The courage to change. Are you kidding me? I've been this way how many years of my life? And then the question comes down. Do you have the courage to walk with God? I'll give you this, Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. In other words, you live by the Spirit, you're walking with God. You willing to do that? Here's the question. Just how far are you willing to go with God? How far? You let him make these changes? You let him take that old nasty temper and those bad thoughts from your life? Those habits you have? You let him take that into his hands? Have we forgotten the old song? Sometimes we forget the old songs that had so much biblical truth in them. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. See, those are biblical. You're the potter, I'm the clay. If there's a flaw in the clay, Lord, remold me. Mold it out. Take it out. Remold something. Make me new and fresh and clean. And Lord, I'm not old. I'm new. I'm young. I'm fresh. And what does your word say, God? Even in old age. You ever read that in the Psalms? It says, even in old age, the righteous will still produce fruit. They will be vital and green. How about that? Wow. That's what God wants. And he just wants the willingness in our hearts to say, oh God, yes, give me the courage. Ask God. If you don't have the courage, ask God. Give me the courage to let go, to face myself, the courage to change, Lord, the courage to walk with God. Let the Spirit, Lord, let your Holy Spirit live in me and through me. God, I'm asking you for boldness to be your living word, so when people see me, they can say, there's Jesus in that person. I close with this prayer. I've been writing some prayers God gives me when they're really prayers he gives me to pray, and I share them with you, but I close with it. Lord, free me from my past. In Jesus' name, deliver me from sinful habits. Jesus, give me the joy, return to me the joy of my salvation. Lord God, make me a joy to you. Make me a joy to your people. Make it good for them to be around me, that they receive your Spirit through me, that they're lightened up and brightened with the joy of the Lord that is my strength. God, give me the courage to let go, the courage to face myself, the courage to change, the courage to walk with you, and most of all, the courage to submit myself to you. And give you the praise and the honor and the glory forever and ever, Lord Jesus. That's what it's supposed to be. That's who I am and who I want to be. And you're the living God. All glory and honor to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you for being here this day.